All right, but we can start with 17 again. We're still talking about the ongoing struggle between the king of the north and the king of the south. At times it's the king of the north who is going to be victorious. At times it's the king of the south. Caught in between the king of the south and the king of the north will be Eretz HaTzvi. Eretz HaTzvi is the desirable land. Eretz Yisrael is caught in the vice between the two superpowers that are struggling. The house of Talmai in the south, Egypt, Antiochus, the Seleucid Empire, which is in the north, Syria, Mesopotamia. In Pasuk 17, he's already in Eretz HaTzvi, he is in Eretz Yisrael. V'yosein panav, Pasuk 17, V'yosein panav, he's going to point his face, he's going to lavo, to come, betokef kol malchuto, this is the king of the north, with the strength of his entire kingdom, v'yisharim imo, v'osa, he is going to do yisharim. Now, yisharim over here means he's going to try and make peace, and he will do it. Ubat hanashim yitein lo lahashchita. The bat hanashim, and there are those who say that the bat hanashim, the daughter of women, refers to Cleopatra, the daughter of Antiochus III, who was given in marriage to Talmai the Fifth. You don't have to remember all of that. But the Bat Hanashim over here is another treaty that is made by marriage, and it's a marriage of the daughter of the house of the king of the north to a king of the south. If you want to remember the particulars, there was some of the Mepharshim say that it refers to Cleopatra. There was a Cleopatra who was the daughter of Antiochus of the north, who married Talmai the fifth of the south. Velo Tamod, the peace is not going to stand. Velo Lo Tihyeh, it is not going to be his. It will not succeed. In other words, the attempt of the king of the north to take over the south, he will not succeed. And therefore, Pasuk 18, V'yosev panav lo'iyim, he is going to turn his face lo'iyim to the islands. That means he's going to go out on a campaign. The king of the north is going to go out on a campaign of going against the islands in the Mediterranean. V'lochad rabim, and he is going to capture many of them. V'hishbit kotzin cherpato lo, he is going to destroy the officer of the king of the south, and the shame will be upon him. And bilti cherpato yashiv lo. Aside from the shame that is going to be brought upon him, there will be other things that will be brought upon him. Now here on this pasuk, you have to know I would say on both these pasukim, extremely important to know how Rashi looks at it. That's why last week I gave you the Rashi. Rashi says on pasukim 17 and 18, he says, as we pointed out, the king of the north is going to come with the strength of his entire kingdom. He's going to come against the king of the south. V'yisharim imo, those who are with the king of the south, the king of the north will rule over them. V'asan, he's going to succeed. Now, here is where Rashi begins to bring the history down to that which we can understand. The Bat Hanashim, the daughter of women, Yitein lo lahashchita, says Rashi the following. Zu Knesset Israel, this is talking about the congregation of Israel. Hayafa banashim, Israel is described in Shir HaShirim as the beautiful amongst women. Yitzaveh melech hatzafon l'sar tzva'o lahashchita. The king of the north is going to command his his Ramatkal, his commander-in-chief, to destroy Eretz Yisrael. You hear how Rashi is learning? V'yosein panav, lavo v'tokev kol malchuto, v'yisharim imo, v'osa. And there will be the king of the north will have his officers with him in the as he goes against the king of the south, va'asa, and he will succeed against the king of the north, the south. Ubat hamashim yitain lo lahashchita v'lo tamod v'lo lo yiyeh lo tiyeh, says Rashi. Va'omer ani, I say, Shehu Antiochus HaRosha, this pasuk is talking about Antiochus the Rosha. Now, I told you one pshat. One pshat is that this is a merger or an alliance that is concluded between the king of the north and the king of the south by virtue of the marriage of Cleopatra to Ptolemy V. Rashi says that we are talking about Antiochus, the evil king of Greece, who, by Greece, of course, he means over here, it's really Syria. It's one of the segments of the what was formerly the Greek Empire. Shegozak Zeros al Yisrael, he decrees against Israel. V'tzivan, he commanded Lefolipos Sar Tzivo Laharoget Kol Hakorei Shemo Yehudi Kemo Shekatuv V'Sefer Yosefon. This is the last thing we talked about last week. We learned this Rashi, that anybody who calls his name Jew should be destroyed. And there I read into the Rashi the idea that the final solution of the Jewish people did not begin with Hitler, Yamach Shemai, but this was Antiochus. And you know, I have a feeling that because of Hanukkah, and you know, I have a little dreidel, I made it out of clay, we never get down to the history of what took place at the time. We just get this feeling that, you know, everybody lived happily ever after. You know, Matityahu and his five sons just wiped them all out, but we lose sight of what Antiochus was. Antiochus was a person who had established for himself a goal to destroy the Jewish people. That's what he was. Ubat hanashim yitain lo lahashchita. The daughter of women is that which he will tell his commander-in-chief to destroy, the low tamod. Atzat, says Rashi, he will not, it will not stand, this counsel of his will not stand. The lo tihyeh. The daughter of the women is not going to be his, says Rashi. Bat hanashim will not be his, he will not succeed. Sho'omat Matityahu ben Yochanan, because Matityahu, the son of Yochanan, arose, uporak ulo me'al Yisrael, and he removed the yoke of Antiochus from upon the Jewish people. By the way, just a little fascinating footnote to history that I never knew. Where is it? When Antiochus sent Philippus to destroy the Yofe Banoshim, they conquered Jerusalem and defiled the temple on the 25th day of Kislev in the year 168 before the Common Era. And 3 years later, on the 25th day of Kislev, the Hashmonaim recaptured the Beth Hamikdash and dedicated it. Both of them, Chaf Hei Kislev. I didn't know that Yerushalayim and the temple fell on the 25th day of Kislev in the year, and they're not certain whether it's 167 or 168. And then the Hashmonaim recaptured it on the 25th day of Kislev, 164 or 165. Precisely 3 years. By the way, what's also fascinating about this, and this is the ongoing message of all of Sefer Daniel, and it's one that you know, has begun to give me a tremendous amount of comfort, I would say. Nothing's forever. Not worthwhile getting upset. Nothing is forever. I think Jews were very smart when they said, this too will pass. Antiochus' gezeiros were terrible. He really wanted to obliterate, Judaism, and he knew that the most effective way to do it was by destroying the Jewish people. If there are no Jews, then that's the end. And he tried. He tried very hard. And therefore it called for the rebellion from within. All right, back to Pasuk. Back to Pasuk 17, right? V'yosem panav, u'bat hanoshim, yitel lo tamah, v'yosei v'panav le'iyim, and he will turn his face toward the islands, v'lachad rabim. Now there are those who say that in one of his campaigns against the south, he simply did not succeed, and therefore he didn't conquer Egypt. So if he didn't conquer Egypt, he let his wrath out on the islands and all places around. V'lochad rabim, and he captured many. V'hishbit katzin, and here the Rashi becomes important again, terribly important. He will destroy the officer. Cherpatolo, the shame is his. Says Rashi, v'hishbit hakodesh baruch hu et gidufo. Ve'et cherpato shahayam mechadef et hakodesh baruch hu ve'et Yisrael, k'mo shekatuv b'sefer Yosef. Antiochus cursed, shamed, treated with absolute contempt God and the Jewish people, and God therefore will return his shame upon him. And here he brings from Josephus, ve'hishivu alav. God did bring back the shame upon him. Shehiko b'shchinra, it seems that Antiochus took deathly ill on this campaign with some kind of boils on his body. Baderech, on the road, sheholach latzor al Yerushalayim, he's on his way to besiege Yerushalayim. V'hisriach b'soro, the flesh of his body began to decay. V'noshru eforov, the organs of his body began to fall. He told his servants to take him back to Antiochia, which was his capital. He did not arrive back home until he had already died on the way from terrible, terrible illness. So the one who shames God, the shame comes back upon him. Pasuk 19. V'yoshev panov. Love. This is what Rashi said at the end, that he's going to turn his face to return to the strongholds of his land. V'nifshal, he's going to stumble, v'nafal, and fall, v'lo yimatzei, and you're not going to find him anymore upon the face of this earth. This is what happens. This is the end of Antiochus. By the way, according to the Gemara, this too was the end of Titus, who destroys the second Bet HaMikdash on his way back to Rome. He is overcome with illness and ultimately dies a horrible death from it. V'omar al kano ma'avir noges heder malchut, and they will stand upon his pedestal. Who now is going to rise in Eretz Israel? Amad al kano, on his pedestal would stand Ma'avir Noges, the one who has removed the taskmaster. Says Rashi, who is it that removed the taskmaster? V'yitchazek al desiso bahar hamoda'it, and he will be strengthened upon his base, his platform, in the mountain of Modi'in. Matityahu ben Yochanan, Ha'ma'avir noges yavan ma'al Yisrael, the one who removes the Greek taskmaster upon Israel. So Pasuk 20, according to Rashi, is talking about Matityahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. And of course, remember, this is being seen in a dream by Daniel 150 years earlier. However, Daniel does not necessarily know, or most probably does not know, to what it refers. He just has this general blurry picture that there's going to be a a terrible period of time, or many terrible periods of time, and then there will be one who will remove the great taskmaster. Heder Malchut, the beauty of kingdom, be Israel, says Rashi. Kisar v'gibor yehu v'chol zaro acharav b'nei hachashmon. I'm reading the Rashi. Because he will be an officer and a mighty one. He and all of his children afterwards, b'nei hachashmonim, the sons of the Hashmonaim. You may recall, I think it was a shiur that we said at the very beginning of the year, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was in this class, if I'm not mistaken. There is a difference of opinion as to the validity of the kingdom of the Hashmonaim. There is a question as to, did they have the right to take upon themselves the mantle of royalty? They were Kohanim. And there had always been, well, let's put it in terms of separation between state and religion. There was always the separation between Malchut, the house of David, the house of David, kingdom, tribe of Judah, and then the high priesthood, Kahuna, which comes from the tribe of Levi. And here we have Hashmonaim, the house of the Kohen Gadol, who become kings. So the fact is that according to the Ramban in Chumash, this was... Well, there are two Rambans in Chumash. All of a sudden it strikes me. And I wanted to finish the... The first Ramban in this week's Sedra, Parshat Baha'alotcha, one of the classic great Rambans in Torah, where the Ramban says, Baha'alotcha Taneirot, when you kindle the menorah, says Rashi, why is the parsha of the menorah? Why does it follow the parsha of the dedication of the Bet of the Mishkan by the princes at the end of Parshat Maso? What's the menorah doing here in the middle? Says Rashi, because Aaron HaKohen was upset that Lohu v'lo Shifto, neither he nor his tribe were involved in the dedication ceremonies of the Mishkan, starting with the first day of the month of Nisan, straight through 12 days each tribe. The prince of each tribe brought a sacrifice, and he was not involved in it. Says Rashi, that God comforts him, and God tells him, Aaron, don't worry, you are set aside for even greater things. You're the one that lights the menorah every day. The Ramban asks a whole series of questions on Rashi. I'm doing this from memory now. The Ramban asks a whole bunch of questions on Rashi. What do you mean, if God wants to comfort Aaron, he could easily have told him, well, you know, they each had their one day in the limelight, but you're going to be bringing, you and your children are going to be bringing the sacrifices day in and day out. As long as there will be a Beit HaMikdash, what do you get yourself upset, Aaron? And so therefore, why does God choose, the Ramban asks on Rashi, why does God choose to comfort Aaron by telling him that you're going to light the menorah? There's so much more that he's going to do. Therefore, says the Ramban, do you know what the great consolation to Aaron is? You're going to have something at a time that no one will have anything. And he explains, and he brings a medrash that says so, that the kindling of the menorah that we read about that in Parshat Baalotcha is not the kindling of the menorah every day in the Mishkan, but the kindling of the menorah of Chanukah, that even when there won't be a Bet HaMikdash, because of the family of Kohanim, of Hashmonai, Ubanav, you're the ones that are going to, because of you, all of Klal Yisrael is going to light a menorah. By the way, you may also notice, when you get to this Shabbos in Yitz Hashem, that the Haftorah for Parshat Baalotcha is the same Haftorah as Shabbos Chanukah. It's the lighting, the kindling of the menorah in Sefer Zechariah. So the Ramban, it's a beautiful big Ramban. All big Rambans are beautiful. All Rambans are beautiful. So he So he says that the kingdom of the Noam Parshat Baalotcha is Remez, telling Aaron and his children that someday there's going to be a kingdom of the menorah that all of Klal Yisrael are going to do, and it's because of you. Which obviously, of course, means that the kingdom of the house of the Chashmonai receives, in a sense, an approval from heaven itself. Then again, the Ramban himself is also the one who says in Parshat, that's also a big, beautiful Ramban, in Parshat Vayechi, where when Yaakov tells Yehuda, Lo Yosor Shevet Me Yehuda, the scepter of kingdom shall never be removed from Yehuda, says the Ramban. From here we learn that the Chashmonaim transgressed this negative commandment of the father Yaakov, because they took kingdom to themselves, and they shouldn't have done that. So the Ramban seems to be looking askance at the fact that the priests, the Kohanim, took over the kingdom. The famous Rambam in Hilchos Chanukah looks at it in a very positive light. The Rambam, Maimonides, the Rambam says, what happened on the 25th day of Kislev? They came back into the Beis HaMikdash. The Chazra HaMalchut LeYisrael, and kingdom returned to Israel. Yet that Al-Matayim Shana for more than 200 years. The Rambam speaks about it in such a festive manner. And the Rambam is the one that speaks about it as being what ultimately emerges from Hanukkah, that kingdom returned to Israel, even though it was the kingdom of the Chashmonai. Rambam seems to be saying, therefore, that it was okay for them to be kings. This Rashi, I saw years ago, was brought by some of the Farshim as saying that Rashi holds that Daniel is telling us, God is telling in advance, that the kingdom of the Chashmonaim, a kingdom will rise from the house of the priests, which means obviously it is to be looked at in a positive light. Is it good for the Jews or is it bad for the Jews? So we have over here, number one, the Rambam, who says it's okay. Rashi says it's very good. The Ramban seems to say that all of this was, on the one hand, he seems to say that all of this was indicated already to Aaron in Parsha Balotcha, but despite that, Yaakov had said, no, they should not take kingdom. I believe that we resolve this by saying that within the context of the time frame in which the Chashmonaim became kings, it was preferred. Why? Because Chazal, our rabbis, did not want, and most probably it all flows from Sefer Daniel. Since Sefer Daniel, there is one thing that we can't overlook. Sefer Daniel is really going to be saying that Second Bet HaMikdash is not going to last forever. Sefer Daniel is going to end up talking about, well, it talks about the four kingdoms. I mean, the four kingdoms is the theme throughout Sefer Daniel. The four kingdoms. Now, the four kingdoms, of course, are Babylon, Persia, Greece, and then Rome. Rome will destroy the Beit HaMikdash. It's going to say it there. And ultimately, the kingdom of God is going to come very late at the end of time. Which means that Daniel is really telling them, they don't understand it yet, but they'll see it later. And maybe that's important, and this has also been a theme that we've been saying. Not to despair because of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. It's not the end of history. History will ultimately end when God is going to bring the final great kingdom of all. And because the second Beit HaMikdash was not going to last, and therefore the return of Jews from Babel to Eretz Yisrael was not Geula, was not redemption, Chazal didn't want us to make the mistake of thinking, our rabbis didn't want us to make the mistake of thinking that this is redemption, and if there would have been a kingdom from the house of David, that would already have sent a message to the Jewish people, a message that would ultimately mean despair. Because it's going to fall, it's going to end. And if it's Malchus Beis David, if it's kingdom of the house of David that ends, that's terrible. Yes.
I'm just in the point you're making about the solace aspect of it, and the expectation being sent to a degree. However, where does the whole responsibility of the nature element of Sinasinam and having some role in all of this come into this middle up?
It's going to come right away. Yes, it's going to come. There's no question about it. We cannot remove the guilt from ourselves. You know, I'll tell you more. We could have made it work. And maybe it's for that reason, and I'm just making this up now, but it may even be true. It may very well be for that reason that whatever is said in Sefer Daniel can only be interpreted after the fact. They don't know before the fact that whatever they're living through is not going to last. Chachmei Yisrael may have that feeling, but nobody knows for certain. And according to the Gemara, we could have made it last. Two things. Number one, as the Gemara, we've quoted it often, as the Gemara says, would Jews have come en masse to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, really meaning in the days of Shivat Zion, the return to Zion at the second temple, would they have come en masse? God would have done for them miracles as he did for Yahushua, which means mistake number one was we didn't come. And mistake number two, of course, is the sinas chinam. And there, of course, what's frightening is, as Chazal say, even though they were tzaddikim and they were talmidei chachamim, but the internal strife simply destroyed the country. Yes?
Because of the timing of when they included Sefer Daniel and the Tzuvim and timing of the second base of the Jews, do you think it could have been included as a warning or as a statement to the Jews that if you take responsibility to bring redemption with God as a partner, then this isn't going to come true, but if you don't, this is what's the plan? Like,
I can't see that they would have understood it.
Because that was the question all last year. I mean, I keep going back to this. Did they know that it was temporary the whole time?
I can't believe that they knew that it was temporary. I don't think they could have understood it. I don't think that Daniel is understandable only when you look back at it. I can take any pasuk over here and give you five interpretations of it.
But why didn't they have to take Hebrew names when they came back?
We had mentioned that they didn't take Hebrew names. I would say that our rabbis simply did not negate or reject that because they had the feeling this may not last. I don't think anybody was certain that it wasn't going to last. I don't think anybody could have said with absolute certainty that this was an experiment that was going to fail. We can all be very smart after the fact, and that's what all of Daniel is about. Once the events have taken place, so then we have to take a look. Are we falling apart completely, or was this in the cards? If we don't do the right thing, it's in the cards. Yes, that you can see from Daniel. Will we see the rise of a kingdom of God in the future? Yes, we will. When will it be? Chapter 12 is going to say, no way to know. That's going to be another one of the big messages of Sefer Daniel. And Rashi is going to point it out.
Can we try to have the euphoria of, let's say, the Rashi time of our time? The sense of certainty, or didn't they have that euphoria?
Alright, so we're going to come to a Malbim at the end who says that as we come closer and closer, our certainty grows. But at that time, he says, we're 2,000 years later. We're 2,500 years later. Then one of the messages that Daniel is going to get in chapter 12 is, don't try and figure it out. You don't know when the end is going to come. But as the end begins to come, there are going to be indications, because there's one classic indication. The one classic indication, he says, is the Gemara tells us that the world is going to be 6,000 years. That's it. Which means once you are coming toward the end of the sixth millennium, then you know, closer and closer, the Malbim will say it becomes clearer and clearer. Because there will be more indications from heaven that it's happening. And of course, as we've said often, and this was Rav Kook, and Rav Kook couldn't even have imagined what was going to be in our time. Could he have imagined a sovereign state of Israel? No. Could he have imagined, or maybe he did, I take it back. Maybe he could. Could he have imagined the kibbutz Golios of 5-6 million Jews living in Eretz Yisrael? Couldn't have imagined it. Could he have imagined an Eretz Yisrael as fruitful and as bountiful as it is? All of these are indications. We've got to move quick. Go ahead, I'm not going to... No, not a branch. The kam is the base. So for Amad al Kano, very nice. Very nice. So I'm happy I didn't silence you.
What did she say?
For Amad al Kano, Rashi says, standing on his base. The kam is also the term that's used for the base of the menorah. If it's Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol and the family of the Chashvanoim who are going to be lighting a menorah, and all of Klal Yisrael will be lighting a menorah. Very good. We're happy you came today. It's good that I called you back at 5 o'clock this morning to tell you that there'll be class, right? Okay. Bye. No. Very good. V'amad al kano ni. Wait a minute.
Yeah, that's
what no. Pasuk 20. The Amad al Kano Ma'avir no gates. The one who removes the taskmaster is the one who's going to stand on his base. Who's that? That's Matasyo ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Heder Malchut, and he's going to have the beauty of kingdom. That's the Rashi that we stopped on. Because Rashi says the beauty of kingdom is who? The kingdom of the house of the Chashmonaim. So Rashi is seeing the kingdom of the Chashmonaim in a positive light. But b'yamim achadim, after a brief period of time, yishaver, it will be broken. Says Rashi, b'yamim uvatim tishaver malchutam. In a small period of time, that means in the longer view of history. Remember, the Rambam says the kingdom of the Chashmonaim is going to be 200 years. The truth is, it wasn't really 200 years, it was about 100 years. But if you add the other kings from outside the house of Chashmonaim, so it comes to about 200 years. It will be broken. The tragedy is v'lo ba'apayim, v'lo b'milchama. It's not going to be because of the anger of another nation and not through war, says Rashi, ki mehem ubahem. The destruction of the house of Chashmonaim is going to come from within, from them and from them. Ashi. Yikanu adustublus for Hurkinus al Dvar Hamalucha, the struggle between the last two remaining sons of the house of Chashmonaim, two brothers who are going to bring Eretz Yisrael to civil war for the kingdom. We're going to destroy it ourselves. I mean, by the way, here also the Pasuk seems to be saying, if we wouldn't have done it to ourselves, it could have lasted longer. They didn't shoot themselves in the leg. In the head. That's what happened. V'amad al kano nivzeh. Amad al kano, who's going to be standing on the base of power now? It's going to move over to nivzeh. Nivzeh is the shameful one. And Rashi here, I believe, Rashi brings a beautiful proof to his pshat. Nivzeh is Rome. Esav. We are now moving into the fourth of the kingdoms. And you know why he says that it's Rome? Because in Sefer, Ovadia refers to Esav as Bozui Atomiyod. You're shameful. The Nivza, the shameful one, is Rome. V'lo natnu alav hod malchut. And he is one that the beauty of kingdom has not been placed upon him. Says Rashi, V'amad al kano nivzeh v'yitchazek oz al ma'amadam malchut Esav shenema bazui atam o'od, you are shameful, v'yamdu romim v'yitlu malchut mi'yivonim, they're going to take the kingdom from the Greeks. Rome was not given the beauty of kingdom, they took it. And you know how he's going to do it? By trickery. Ubob shalva. And this... Rome is going to do this a number of times. He's going to come with tranquility. Vehechazik malchut, he's going to grab hold of the kingdom. Vehalak lakot, with smooth talk. Smooth talk. He's going to talk his way into kingdom. Yes?
Rashi says that
Very nice. Vayidez Esav Eshabachorah. Told me out. Here is it. There's a second one that I didn't want to let her interrupt us, and she gave a Vayidez Vayakam Vayelef Vayidez Esav Eshabachorah. The Lashon Bizayon Nivze refers to Esav. Told me out. Uzro Otashetev Yishtefu Yishotfu Milafonov the Yishaveru the Gam Nikid Brit Zroot the arm, the might of those who swept across the world is going to be swept away by him. In other words, here we have the Greek kingdom that swept with its might across the world, and that same mighty kingdom is now going to be swept away by Rome. Uzeroot HaShetef, says Rashi, V'kibodei Malchut Yavan, the mighty of the kingdom of Greece, Shehayu Milifneim, who came before them, Shofim V'chazakim, who swept and washed away kingdoms with great strength, Yishafu Milifnei Romim, they're going to be swept away from the former Romans, V'yishaveru, and they're going to be broken. The Gan Negid Brit, also Negid Brit, the Negid Brit is the prince of the covenant, is the Jewish people. This is a description of the Jewish people. The Gam also Negid Brit, says Rashi, Gam Melech Yisrael, Sheyichrot Imam Brit, also the king of Israel who's going to make a treaty with them, Gam Hu Sofo Sheyishatev Milafonam, he's also going to be swept away before Rome. Ki Yavru Al HaBrit, because they're going to break the treaty. The Yifshutu Aleim, and they're going to spread out in war against them. And this we had quoted in many other contexts. The Ramban in Parashat Vayishlach, where the Ramban says, we brought the Tzara of Rome upon ourselves. We invited them into Israel. We invited them into Eretz Yisrael. We brought them here from Rome. We brought it down upon ourselves. We brought them in as mediators, as those who are going to be on one side against the other, and they came and they broke the covenant. And as Rashi brings the Gemara, Kamo Shomer Razal, Esrim v'shit shnin komu behem nutayu, 22 years they remained loyal to their to the treaty, v'hadi Yisrael with Israel, v'hodor ishtabdu behem, and then they enslaved them. And I don't believe it's because they kept their treaty for 22 years. They bided their time for 22 years. What's 22 years? What's 22 years anyway? What's 22 years anyway? Oh, who knows how long one is going to keep a treaty? How long is the treaty with Egypt? It's 20 years. 20 years? No. That's 22 years in the history of nations. They says the Gemara, 22 years they kept the treaty. Pasuk 23, Umin Hitchavrut Elav, Yaseh Mirma. When he joins with him, when Rome joins with the Jewish people, Yaseh Mirma, he's going to do it with deceit. His plan is really Tachnit Hashlabim, the plan of pieces, and he's going to wait. He's going to bide his time until he's ready to do it. Va'Allah, he will rise. Va'Atzam, and he's going to overwhelm them with strength. B'Ma'ad Goy, with a small part of his nation. He won't need all his mighty legions. He may need his legions later, but not when he takes over the kingdom, because he's going to take over an Israel that is weak from within because of the inner strife and struggle. Says Rashi on Pasuk Chav Gimel, Umin Chabrut Elav Yaseh Mirma, from the joining with him, he will do it with deceit. Umin Hashutfut Sheyishtatev Romi Im Yisrael, the partnership that Rome is going to make with Israel, Yaseh Mirma, he's going to do it with the deceit. Shelo Yigale Machshavara, he's not going to reveal any bad thought. V'Allah, then he will rise from him, he may come up from his place. V'atzam, b'chol mekamot shesivot eretz Yehuda ve'edom ve'amon u'moav. His strength is going to spread through all of the places around Eretz Yisrael. B'ma'ad go'y lo yitztarech l'cheil kaved. He's not going to need a mighty army. Ki ya'azor otro melech Yehuda. V'chenk You know who's going to help him rise to power? You know who's going to give him the strength? The king of Yehuda, you understand? They're going to create the enemy. They're going to give the enemy strength. Al titnulahem charavot. There may have been some Jews on the highways where it's all said, don't give them swords. No, we did it. We managed did it. And the Rambam says it clearly. We brought it all upon ourselves. God, I mean, Pasuk Chavdalet, Bishalva, again, same word is used. Bishalva, he's going to do it with tranquility. Ubi Mishmane, Medina Yavo. Mishmane means the fat or the strong pieces of people of his kingdom, he will come. Va'asa, and he's going to do the kind of things Ashelo Asu Avota Va'avota Avotav that his fathers and the fathers of his fathers didn't do. Biza. He's going to spoil and he's going to loot and he's going to yivzar means he's going to distribute to all of his allies the spoil. Val mivtzarim yechashev machshavutav, and against the fortresses he will think thoughts how he's going to overcome the fortresses, and va'ad eight. And he can wait until the time, says Rashi. Biza v'sholal u'chush lahem yibzar yechalek l'chol ha'mekablim ulam aleihem. He will hand out spoil to all who accept the yoke of Rome. Ad sheyichbishu atakol, until he conquers everything. V'chanufa, with flattery, u'bechalak lakot, with sweet talk. He's not probably going to talk about peace and great economic relationships and there's really going to be a whole new Middle East that we're going to have over here. Yivzor, kamo yifazer, he will spread it out. V'chein bizer, I mean, he spread out nations. V'al mivtzarim akum yachshov mashavotav lahushiv roshei gayosotav ad eich yakol kavush tachtev. He's going to place his people in fortified positions until everything will be his. Oh, until the time will come, he'll bide his time, but he's going to do it slowly, slowly, without any great fanfare. V'yo'er kocho ulubavo al melech ha-negev. And then the struggle is going to begin again between the north and the south. He will arouse his strength and his heart, al melech ha-negev, against the king of the Negev, the chayil gadol, with a great, great army. Umelech ha-negev yidgorel milchama b'chayil gadol v'atzumat miyot. And the king of the south is going to be aroused and awakened to war with an even greater army. V'lo ya'amod, the king of the south is not going to stand before the onslaught of Rome. Ki yachshavu alav machshavot. You see the term thinking thoughts is used again. Everything is done by thinking thoughts. In other words, not every battle is won on the battlefield. It may be won at the negotiating table.
Planning stages.
In the planning stages. Yachshavu alav machshavot. That's exactly the word that was used. Rome, says Rashi, v'yitnaklu alav lahapilo ayidei shochad shiyashchidu et sorov l'vgobo kamo shuhu misayim v'omeh v'ochlei pad bagol yishberu. We're going to see right away, next passage, that he's going to find ways to undermine the authority of the king of the south from within. He's going to create a fifth column, or he's going to buy off people close to the king of the south. And Pasuk 26 says it, v'ochlei pad bagol yishberuhu. The ones who eat pat bag did not want to become defiled by pat bag hamelech, the food of the king. Ochle pat bago means those who eat the food of his table. Yishberu, they're going to break him. V'chelo yishtof, and his army will be swept away. V'noflu chalolim rabin, and many are going to fall dead in battle. Ushnehem hamelechim, both kings, Levavam, you'll see right away who he was referring to. Levavam lemeirav, their heart is going to be evil. Val shulchan echad kazav yedaberu, by one table they're going to talk, they're going to lie to one another. Velo titzlach ki od kates lamoed. Let's see the Rashi here. Ushneim hamalachim saromim unigid habrit haolamala. The officer of Rome and the Negid HaBrit. Who's the Negid HaBrit? The Negid HaBrit is the Jewish people. They are the Negid HaBrit because they are the ones with whom Rome has entered into a covenant. The one that was said earlier. Who Hyrcanus? Rome took the side of Hyrcanus in the civil war between Hyrcanus and Aristobulus in the struggle for the kingdom of Israel. She Yitchaber le'ezrato. Rome is going to join to assist Hyrcanus. He wants Rome to assist him in the struggle against his brother Aristobulus, who now rules in Yerushalayim. And so it means Hyrcanus is going to be sitting with the Roman general at the same table. So Rashi says, they really want to divide one table. They want to bring down Aristobulus. They want to bring down Aristobulus. And the fact is that both of them, they're both lying. They're lying to one another. V'lo titzlach sheit masru Yisrael hashchata ba'utan hayamim. Now it could have been at that point that Klal Yisrael would be destroyed, suffer a terrible defeat. But it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. In other words, Israel is going to fall under the influence of Rome, but there will not be destruction. Says the Pasuk, Ki od keitz lamoed, because there's still time for the destruction to come. Says Rashi, Hachorban, because there's still time. The time designated for the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash has not come yet. Kiot Kates Lamoed, Hachurban, Lamalot, Shavuim, Shishim, Ushnayim, Ha'amurim, the Sefer Zev. We learned earlier, we will in Yitzhak Hashem repeat it when we review, the time that was allotted until the second Beit HaMikdash would be destroyed. Va'oto Hamoed, that time is going to fall in the days of Agrippus, the son of Agrippus, Mizera Hurdus, who was from the family of Hurdus. Now Herod was a slave in the house of the Chashmonaim. In other words, when the kingdom of Chashmonaim falls, there will still be kingdom over Israel, but it's not going to be our people. It's really going to be foreigners who are going to rule over us. But Agrippus at one point was considered a good king. He wanted to be good to the Jewish people. He considered himself Jewish. Further, Yerushov Arzo Berechush Gadol Ulevavol Brit Kodesh Vasa Shav La'Arzo. The officer of Rome is going to return to his land with great wealth, and his heart is going to plan against Brit Kodesh, either the Holy Covenant or the covenant that he made with the Holy People. He plans on breaking it. Right now, he has come to the aid of Hyrcanus against Aristobulus. He is the ally. But he's not going to be an ally forever. Ulefavo, but his heart is going to be against Brit Kodesh. Va'osa, and he's going to do what he has to do. V'shav, he's going to succeed. V'shav la'artso, and he's going to return to his land, says Rashi. V'yoshov Melech Haromi La'artso, the king of Rome will return to his land. Me'al Melech HaNegev B'dechush Gadol, from his campaign against Egypt with great wealth. Ulefavo al Brit Kodesh, and his heart is planning to go against the covenant he's made with the Holy Ones. La'hafer Brito Me'al Yisrael, in order to break his covenant with Israel. Va'osa Kloma Be'hitzliach, he will succeed. V'shav La'artso, and return to his land. And then in Pasuk 29, Lamoed Yashuv, at a later time, he will return, Ubaba Negev, and he's going to come with the second battle against the south. There's going to be a second campaign against Egypt. It's not going to be like the first one, and not like the last one, says Rashi, Lamoed, La'achar Zman, after a period of time. This coming to Mitzrayim is not going to be as successful as the first one. There was a first attack, against the Egypt, where it says V'amad mi netzer sharasher sheitzliach melech hatzafon al melech hanegev o kacharona pam shnia zu shamanu v'shav la'arto b'rechush gadol. There were two campaigns against the south, and those two campaigns were a great deal more successful than the third one. Upo upo, pasuk 30, upo upo tzim kitim v'nich'a. They will come to wage war against him. Tzim is fleet. There's a naval battle. The tzi, I think, well, zim is not zim in Hebrew. Zim is tzim. We get so confused. It's tzim. Because a tzi is a fleet. He's going to come with his fleet against the king of the south. V'nich'ah. Rome in that battle. Now, according to the Malbim, we're still talking. The difference between Rashi and the Malbim is Rashi is already up to Rome. The Malbim is still back in the days of Greece. The ongoing battles between Seleucids and the Talmais, Antiochus and Talmai, Syria and Egypt. Of course, what's fascinating is it's very good that there should be pshatim like that. It means the lack of clarity. The lack of clarity is terribly important over here. Let nobody think that they really know what things are until they will be absolutely certain. V'nich'a means that in this battle he will be weakened. He will be weakened. And I think there are a number of words that we have. A neche, huh? Handicap. Even the weaker hand in Torah is referred to as yad kehe. Nich'a means to be weakened. And you know what he's going to do when he's weakened in his battle against the south? He's going to let out all of his anger on Eretz Yisrael. V'shav, and he's going to return. V'zo'am, and he's going to be angry al brit kodesh, upon the covenant with the holy people or the holy covenant. V'asa, and he's going to do. Do means he's going to succeed. V'shav, and he will return. The Yavain, and he, well, number of pshatim, but he will understand or think al ozdei brit kodesh, about those who leave brit kodesh. The Rashi here is terribly important. The Rashi here is a turning point. Says Rashi, upo upo lehilachen bo tzim. Rashi says tzim means siot, groups, kitim, romim, gedudim imalchut romi sheyimredu bo. There are going to be legions of Rome that are going to rebel against him. V'nich'ov v'nishbar tzat, and he's going to be broken. V'shav tzat, v'shav v'zah b'rit kodesh, v'shav la'arzo, he's going to return to his land, la'haveb b'rit, with a plan to destroy the covenant shekarat in Israel. And Rashi explains the end of the pasuk, v'shav v'yavein al'ozvei b'rit kodesh. You know what he's with? You know what's going to assist him in breaking the covenant with Brit Kodesh? Because there are going to be amongst Jews Ozvei Brit Kodesh, those who forsake the Holy Covenant. Says Rashi, V'yitein lei v'yidbonein. He's going to pay attention to, and he's going to understand, She'ozvu Yisrael Brit v'dat Kodesh. Israel left the covenant and the holy religion. V'chora v'torev sinat chinam u'machloket v'bayit sheni, Kemoshe Katuv v'sefer Yosefon, and sinat chinam and machloket burgeoned and grew during the days of the second Beit HaMikdash. As Josephus writes, the yishpachu dam naki, and innocent blood was spilled in Eretz Yisrael, v'alzot yiftach, the enemy is going to depend on that. He's going to depend on the fact that Israel is weakened and splintered and divided from within. V'yeda sheyatzliach, then he knows that he's going to succeed. V'yofer et britom imam, and he's going to break his covenant with them. V'yidgorebam, and he's going to start a war with them. Uzroim. Pasuk 31. Uzroim mimenu ya'amodu. An arm, arms from him will rise. Arms mean strength. The zroas represents strength. V'chilulu hamigdosh v'hamaoz. Now we're talking about Churban HaBayit. Desecrate the sanctuary, the holy, and the mighty, the hesidu atamid. They're going to remove the constant sacrifice. V'notnu hashikutz mishomeng. And they're going to place the silent abomination. The silent abomination is they're going to place either the eagle of Rome, the idol of Zeus, or whichever idol they were, then, according to many of the Pharisees, it's Zeus, the shikutz, shaketz shaktsenu, that which is objectionable and reprehensible. Mishomei means desolate, doesn't speak, the idol. Says Rashi, Usroim imenu yamodu, Yishlak sorov v'giborov v'Yerushalayim, he's going to send his officers and his mighty ones to Yerushalayim, v'chillu hamikdash hama'oz, Ma'on Bet HaMikdash, the dwelling place of God, the Bet HaMikdash. Here is Churban HaBayit. Pasuk 32. Umarshei Ebrit Yachanif Bechalakot Va'am Yodei Elokov Yachaziku Va'asu. Jews are going to be divided. They are going to be the Marshei Ebrit, the Rishoyim, the evil from within the covenant. Then he will be able to flatter with smooth talk. Says Rashi, Umarshiei Brit Yachanif Peritzei Yisrael, those who broken out of Israel, Shiyachabru Imo, who are going to join with him, V'yarshiu Britom Im Chavereim, they're going to destroy their covenant with their friends, V'yumamrim, going to rebel against God, V'yachanif Bechalakakot, and they will, with smooth and flattering talk. And then on the other hand, they're going to be Yodei Elokov, those who know their God, despite the circumstances. They are going to be Jews who will be the Shoyim. Jews are going to continue to remain with God. Yodei Elokov ukeshei Yisrael sheyachziku biyirat Elokeim, and the good of Israel are going to remain with their fear of God. Kloma yovzuba, they're going to hold on to God and to Torah. The lo yaazvuha, and they're not going to let go. For also they're going to do et Toratam. Umaskileam yavinu l'rabim, maskileam, those who make the people intelligent. Chachmei Yisrael yavinu l'rabim, they're going to, you know, he seems to be describing something that we've seen, that when it seems that everything is falling apart all around us, Torah grows. The Torah seems to all of a sudden begin to sprout. On the one hand, the Jews are intermarrying, and on the other hand, yeshivas and kollelim are opening. Like these are the two sides of the coin. They seem to be in constant struggle with each other, but that's the way it is. The worse it gets, in a sense, the better it gets. So he says, "Umaskilei am." Says Rashi, "Chachamim shebehem, kigon shel beis Rebbe, the chachmei adoros." Rashi is already taking us to the post-Churban era. Even in the post-Churban era, Talmidei Chachamim, Torah is growing. Yavinu l'rabim, they're going to teach the masses of people and strengthen them. V'nichshelu b'chedev uvelehava b'shvi uvevizah yamim. Rashi says this is a description of what's going to happen to Jews and Gullahs. On the one hand, they're learning Torah is growing, and but many are going to stumble. They're going to suffer from the sword, they're going to suffer from fire, bishvi, from captivity, ubibiza, and being looted, yamin, for a long time, ubihi kashlam, pasuk 34, and as they stumble, ye ozru, ezemiyat, they're always going to get a little help from one source or from another. Vinilvu alehem rabim be chalaklakot, and there are many who will join with them. And over here, it's strange, but it seems that the word uses the same term bechalaklakot, but it's meant here in a positive sense and not in a negative one. Umin hamaskilim Yikoshlu. Here it becomes fascinating, even more fascinating.
different ways.
No, maskilim means the talmidei chachamim. And you know what? You know what he's talking about here? He's coming down to one of the important messages of the Sefer. And the one who expresses it, I don't like to take sides over here, but the one who seems to express it best is the Mitzudas David. And I tell you, the Pasuk 35, I always do this to you, I shouldn't, but this is a swing Pasuk. According, and it's really there in the words, Umin ha-maskilim, and from the wise ones, ye koshlu. First of all, there's the beauty of maskilim, ye koshlu. Similar letters, you have them over there. Umin ha-maskilim. Even the wise are going to stumble. In what are they going to stumble? They're going to try to figure out when Mashiach is going to come. And they're going to make mistakes. And the pasuk says it. Take a look. Umin ha-maskilim yikashlu litzrof bahem ulevarer ulelabein ad eight kates. And you know why they're going to stumble? I'll translate it all right away. You know why they're going to stumble? Ki od lamoed, because there is still time for it. The tzaras are going to be that great. The Jews are going to try. Litzrof means to. A tzodef is a. A smith, in other words, to remove impurities, right? Levarer, to clarify. Lelabain, to make light, light, to see things clearly. Ad eight kates, and I'm going to read just a sentence from the Mitzudas. Umin ha'askilim, v'oz rabim, min ha'chachamim, then many other chachamim, yikoshlu b'cheshbon ha'et. They're going to stumble in their calculation of the time. Yaskilu litzrof b'cheshbon zman ha-geula v'ladad birur ha-davar v'libun cheshbono ritzon elomi yutowim miderech ha-emet b'cheshbon ha-geula. They're going to make a mistake in calculating the end of day. They're going to make a mistake because it's not to be known yet. We will talk yet about the great Malden on that, but that's it. Next week for also, let's go. A tag. V'osokiritzono hamelech v'yitromein. We're talking now about the king of Rome. The king of Rome is going to do as his will. V'yitromein, he will rise. V'yitgadal, and he will become great. Al kol el, he's going to see himself above all gods. V'al el elim, and he's going to see him higher, himself higher than the god of gods. Yedaber niflaot, he's going to talk about mighty great things, v'hitzliach, and he's going to succeed, ad kolozam, until God's anger against the Jewish people will pass. Ki necherotza, ne'esata, when the decree has been done. In other words, there was a decree that Jews are going to suffer. When that's over, God's anger has passed, then the decline of Rome is going to begin. Va'al elehe avotav lo yavin, Val chemdat nashim, Val kol elohal lo yavin, ki al kol yid gadol. He will not understand. He will not understand the God of their fathers. They had fathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You're not going to destroy them. He will not understand the might of chemdat nashim, the desirable one of women. Who is the desirable one? Jewish people. He will not understand that the God of Israel is greater than all gods. Because he in his own mind, I'll call Yid Gadol, he's going to see himself greater than everything. Greater than Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, greater than Klal Yisrael, greater than the God of Israel. Vele Eloha Mo'uzim Al Kano Yechabed. To the gods, the deities of other nations with whom he has entered into an alliance of strength, al kano yichabei, that he will respect, v'lalaha asher lo yidou avotav yichabei b'zahav v'chesef u'be'evin yikarov v'chamudot, gods that his fathers did not know. In other words, the Romans are a pagan people, and in a pagan people, you know what? He's the pluralism. Pagan pluralism. Like, yeah, all right, live and let live. And he accepts, and he brings gifts of all sorts of precious gifts to all sorts of gods. And he's going to build great buildings. Rome is going to build great buildings, and we know of the great buildings of Rome because of their remains. All that remains of Rome are the remains of their buildings. All over this country, you can go and see the remains of Rome and the pagan remains of Rome. He's going to make mighty fortresses to strange gods. Asher Yakir, he will recognize them. Yarber Kavod. And he's going to show great honor to them, v'him shilam barabim, and he's going to give them the opportunity to rule over many. V'adomo yechaleg b'mechir, he's going to divide land for a price amongst his underlings. U'be'et keitz yitnagach imo melech anegev. Here already we're getting into heavy stuff, says Rashi. Be'et keitz. Two words, Rashi says, "Kishati karev gulatenu," when our redemption is going to come close. Yitnagev imo melech hanegev, the king of the south is going to come into struggle with him. Yitnagat, from goring one another, v'yistoer alav, and he will attack him. V'yistoer alav melech hatzafon, the king of the north is going to attack him. Now we're talking already as our gula comes close. There's also going to be this struggle between the two powers, the king of the north and the king of the south, berechev ubefarashim, with chariots and horsemen, ubeoniyot rabot, and with many. Now go figure out which battle he's talking about. Ubeoniyot rabot, and with great with many ships. Ubo ba'aratzot, is going to come through many lands, v'shotaf, and he's going to wash away v'avar, and he will pass. Ubo be'eretz hatzvi, in the course of this great battle of, I don't know who's the great power afterwards who comes, be'eretz hatzvi, who makes it into the land of the tzvi, into Eretz Yisrael, v'rabot yikashelu, and many nations are going to fall before him. The ones who are going to be saved from him, and we don't know who him is. The Malvin is going to be learns that we're talking about the ultimate battle of Gog and Magog. This is it. This is the final battle. The final battle, and the battle, that final battle is going to be a battle over Yerushalayim. Over Yerushalayim is going to be the final battle. And the battleground is going to be in and around Eretz Yisrael. And the ones who are going to be, the lands around Edom and Moab, Vereshit and Bnei Amon, are going to be saved. The Yishlach Yadov Ba'aratzos, he's going to send his hand against the nations to destroy. The Eretz Mitzrayim Lo Tiyel Pleita, Eretz Mitzrayim is not going to be saved. U'moshal B'michmanei Hazov HaKesef, this great king, whoever he is, who's ultimately going to be destroyed, is going to rule over all the hidden gold and silver. U'bekol Chamudot Mitzrayim, and all of the desirable wealth of Egypt. The Lubim V'Kushim B'mitzadav, the Libyans and the Kushites are going to be B'mitzadav, those who will either be trampled by him or march with him. And there's going to be all sorts of messages that he will hear that are going to frighten him from the east and from the north. He's going to go out with great anger to destroy and obliterate many. We don't know who it is. Don't know. We'll talk yet. V'yita ohale atadno bein yamim Lahar Tzvi Kodesh, he is going to plant the tent of his, Apadno means his, what does a king live in?
Palace.
Very good, thanks. I needed that word. V'yita ohale Apadno bein yamim, between the seas, to Har Tzvi Kodesh, the holy Eretz HaTzvi is now Har Tzvi Kodesh, the holy mountain. Ubo Ad Kitzo, he's going to come to his end. Ve'ein Ozer Lo, his end is going to come, you know where? Har Tzvi Kodesh. Har Tzvi Kodesh is obviously Yerushalayim. This is where the end, the final battle of history is going to take place, right here. No, I'm not going to review anything now. We'll review it next week. Now, chapter 12 is very, compared to chapter 11, which was the most difficult chapter in the Sefer. Chapter 12 is an easy one, and I'm going to try and see if I can pull maybe doing it 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and give you the broad outline of it. We're going to try our best. We're going to have fun.